Father, I thank you so much for this afternoon, how you have gone ahead to prepare the way. Thank you so much, not take it for granted. Thank you for covering, Lord, that we are experiencing, and we always experience. Lord, we not take it for granted. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the fathers of the house. Father, I also come to commit myself unto you, adopt under that covering today, that I will use the covering in its fullness to deliver your word in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit in the name of God. As the word goes forth, it will do an eternal work in our hearts and our lives. Cause us not to more and more conform to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Let the word be back with power. As the word goes forth, let our wills become more humble, our minds become further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the Spirit. Father, I want to ask for mercy and grace to redeem your time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Help me to bring out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom in Jesus' name. Lord, I receive your mercy afresh. I receive your grace afresh. Lord, Lord, this by set you up my right hand. Give me, Lord, as is written of you, what to say in this hour in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. On the title of my message this morning by the grace of God is Diligently Seeking Good to Procure Favor. Let's get that. Diligently seeking good to procure favor. Let me give you a background of how I came about this message. On Wednesday, God helped me. I was sharing about walking with God. And while I was sharing about that message, I mentioned the situation which Lord Jesus Christ appeared to late Papa Egan. And he was talking to him about walking with him. And he said, I'll just quickly quote. He said, if you are too fast to get out ahead of me, that means you are not walking with me or behind me. And that's true, right? That means that you're not walking with me. That means you lose direction. At least if you are walking behind me, I'm still leading you. What does that mean? He appeared to Kennedy again and told him, he said, if you are not walking with me, either you are walking in front of me, and you are in front of me, you lose direction. But at least, Ken, walk behind me. Don't be too fast, so that at least I'll be leading. You can see me. And while I was preparing, God spoke to me from the book of Joshua. I just mentioned, I'm trying to give you the background. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, about the priests that carried the ark. He said, you must give them 2,000 cubits. Why? Because you have never gone this way before. It is the fathers that carry the present that we are supposed to follow. I follow him. That's what God was telling Kenneth Hagin. He said, don't jump ahead of me, or else you lose direction. But it's better for you, even if you can't walk alongside me. When you walk with somebody, you are walking side by side, right or wrong. So if you can't walk beside me, at least stay behind me, so at least you can see me leading you in the way. So how do we walk with God? We start by walking and following spiritual fathers that are carrying the ark. That is the presence of God. So in the process of walking after, because you have never gone this way before, so that in the presence of walking after them, you learn, and after some time, you begin to walk with God yourself. Praise the Lord. That's what covering does for us. And in sharing, you know, after I left, in speaking that I was right there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said something. He said, it takes diligence to walk with me. I said it. He said, if you are walking ahead of me, that means you are being led by your flesh, like Pastor Kuni shared. He said that when you were young, you went with us wherever you will. When you are young, spiritually, carnally, you are led. But you see, when you start getting mature, you begin to walk alongside with God. I follow him. So God told me, he said, the only reason why you can actually walk with me is you are diligent. You have to be diligent to walk alongside with me. It's God's idea that we walk side by side as friends. I follow him. Bible says, Enoch walked with God. That means we're walking together all the time. And you see, how do we walk with God? In summary, is by following the teachings we have been given, as we'll see as we continue this message. Praise the Lord. So that day I got home, I determined in my heart that I'm going to walk with God the next day. So I woke up. Immediately I woke up, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you now see why if there's no battle prayer, there cannot be any communion. I'll explain. You see, if you don't do your battle prayer in the morning, you can't commune with God. Because you see, it is battle prayer that takes you to the most holy place, where you begin to commune with God on the mercy seat. Believe me, God told me. He said, you see now why battle prayer must always come before communion prayer. That day, I quoted the scripture as God wrote now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. And he says that, this hope, we have it as an anchor of our soul, which was entered within the veil. And God told me, he said, notice that that anchor of your soul does not enter into the outer court. It was not anchored to the most holy place. Is it on the board? It says, which hope we have as an anchor of a soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters that within the veil. So our destiny every morning is to go within the veil. So it is the battle prayer that you pray in the morning that takes you across the veil. I don't want to take too much time to that, but that's not my message for today. You have said something, I said those confessions that Pastor gave us. Is that why I honor them and I respect them? You see, those confessions, 12 confessions in this book. If you look at those 12, they are those same confessions that you find as a type now in the holy place. We have these 12 loaves of bread and the candlestick. You see, in the outer court, it's not covered. Are you following me? So you see, when you start opening up that Paul did not even refer to the outer court in the book of Hebrews. So you take that light, and you say, I have life. And then you now take a loaf, one of those confessions. And you begin to pray in tongues. That's what you are doing. So you are gradually moving into the most holy place where you must anchor your soul. And who dwells in the most holy place? God. And who is God? God is love. So you must anchor your soul in the most holy place every day. So that when you now go out, you are anchored. And the vicissitudes of life, the winds begin to blow. Things begin to happen. You have been anchored there. So even if you pull like this, love will pull you back. You walk in love. That's why Paul said, the love of Christ constrains us. That we have judged. That if one died for, then we're all dead. That they which live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Christ that died for them. So you are no longer responding in the flesh. But it must take place every morning. Our prevailing prayer must take you to the most holy place. And you anchor your soul. Now understand why the Bible says that many waters cannot drown love. Amen. So when the floods of iniquity begin to come against your soul, you are anchored. Amen. Into that which entered between the within the veil. Praise the Lord. So that's why my message, like I said, by the grace of God, says diligently seeking good to procure favor. Let's say together, diligently seeking good to procure favor. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 27. By the grace of God, I'm trusting God to be brief and go straight to the point. Let's go. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. That's what I need in that verse. Let's say again, he that diligently seeks good procures favor. So what is diligence? Pastor has taught it over and over, and I will quote him. Diligence is applying consistent, concentrated, well-directed effort. Let's get diligence is applying consistent, concentrated, well-directed effort. So that scripture says, he that diligently seeketh what? Good. Procure it favor. That means the end of your diligently seeking good is to procure favor, right or wrong. That is just simple. Praise the Lord. So I said this in one of his grandmas. I went to review. Every time I get a message, I go back to grandmas that, you know, I believe will support what I'm doing. And I was amazed. He said it takes wisdom to know where and to how to direct your effort. If you don't have wisdom, you'll be applying effort in the wrong direction. I follow me. It takes wisdom to be diligent to also maximize efficiency. And to get maximum results. That's why I see in the church today, many people are applying their diligence in the wrong direction. They are praying only for finances. They are praying, believing just to die one day and go to heaven. I follow me. So it takes wisdom to apply diligence. And as I said again, diligence is applying consistent, concentrated, well-directed effort. So where do we diligently direct our efforts? It's very simple from that scripture, to seek good. I said to seek good. To seek good. Let's see. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. So we are to diligently seek good. Now, how do we diligently seek good? We diligently seek good by seeking God. Why? Because the Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is good. So we diligently seek good by diligently seeking God. I'll say, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Now, that is maybe abstract. How am I going to seek a God that is so big, bigger than the universe? God makes it so simple. He says, God is love. So when you begin to diligently seek good every day, that way you are seeking God or you are seeking love. And that is just straightforward, I believe. Praise the Lord. Let's put a scripture behind this. Psalm 143, verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 143, verse 10, please. Let's move on. Let's say, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Now let's get that. Thy what? Spirit is good. The Holy Spirit that we desire to commune with every day, as holding us so close, I would say is good. And the book of John, 1 John 8:16 says that God is love. So if as we are diligently seeking good, what about you? We are diligently seeking God, who is love. Praise the Lord. So we say we diligently seek good by diligently walking in love daily. And we diligently seek good at three levels. Level number one, we diligently seek good at the thought level. See, at the thought level. I'm talking about our daily walk with God now. That day when I woke up and I prayed and I came out, I experienced some measure of the Spirit of God, the presence of God. I was so happy. So I went out that day. By the time I went out that day, in less than 3 hours, I was flat on my face. I was so discouraged that night. I couldn't tell anybody. How come? I woke up in the morning, I prayed, I experienced God's presence. God was talking from my Bible, normal Bible reading. I was so happy, I was so excited. By the time I get to work, in less than 3 hours, I was flat on my face. I was so discouraged. So the next time I woke up, I said, Lord, how will I ever get to be able to walk with you? Because the message on that Wednesday was walking with God, and Lord spoke to me. Like Pastor Kuni was sharing, so believe that a bruised reed, it will not break. A flaming flask, it will not quench. Then he whispered the scripture to me. He said, the problem is diligence. You are not diligent enough. You came out, and maybe you came out, you are so happy you are in my presence, so to speak, paraphrasing. So by the time I got to work that day, I saw some bruised, I heard talking. I didn't commit adultery. But you know what we call sin is not what God calls sin at times. I just got into quiet jesting, things that were not convenient, and gradually the presence left. And by the end of the day, it was like a river was just carrying me. I went there overhead. I misbehaving all over the place. I will stop. I'll try to consume. I was not able, until I got back at home. And when I now woke up, that when God spoke, I said, "He that diligently seeketh good, open the scriptures to me." That each day when you pray, you come out and enter that holy place, you are anchored there, but you must diligently seek good, seek God, seek love by walking in love. So at the third level, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Let's read together. What does it say? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Do about these things. Think, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Say, think. Think, 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 think on these things. Don't allow your mind to wander away from love. Once you are anchored in the morning to pass to prayer, begin to think on the love of God. I'm not saying something, Pastor has stuttered. If you use this book, it's there. Think on what is good. God is good all the time, we say. God is love, the Bible says. So think on love. So when the ship of your soul is being tossed by circumstances and it's being by different waves, you are anchored and begin to think on love. Because that is the first place you have to be diligent. Don't allow your thoughts to just wander anyhow. Any thought that comes to you, take it captive. Amen. Military. Don't allow it to just play around like that. Watch what you think. The Bible says, of the abundance, the Bible says that, it says that from the heart, from the, within proceeds adulteries, fornications, covetousness. It's from the heart. It starts from the heart. Yeah. So monitor your heart. Keep your heart, the Bible says, with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. By God Himself is going to take us to our destiny via our thoughts. Say that my thoughts that I think towards you are of good and not of evil, to what? Give you an expected end. Amen. That end is the when you now begin to carry the glory of God. The next thing we need to do is that we need to think about the next area we need to be diligent about, apart from our thoughts, is the words we speak. Say, the words we speak. The words we speak. Or let me make it real. Even the songs we sing. Amen. You see, when I was praying, God spoke to me. He said, the devil has so much bombarded the air. Stupid ringtones. The one that you don't even want to hear, they will put it on your phone and they will deduct your money. So you keep hearing the wrong thing. Are you following me? So we keep hearing the wrong thing. If you don't take it to your thoughts at that level, you start saying the wrong thing. You see what I'm saying? As I continue, I want to be deliberate and move straight to the point. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Please stay with me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go. Let no. He didn't leave room for anyone. Let no. Corrupt communication. Proceed. Say proceed. Out of your mouth. But that which is good. To the use of edifying. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Say let no. It's a commandment. And you can only do it with diligence. Let no. Don't allow it. If it comes to your mind, take it out. You say, I'm not going to sing this song. This is because you may not say it in the natural. I mean, you're not talking to you, but that's part of it. But you may sing it. But I was talking about brothers. I looked up 4:22. Luke 4:22 talks about him. That is the procedure. This is not man. We need to know the person we want to be confirmed with, so we can follow his steps. Now you see, when we make mistakes, Hebrews 3, even not Hebrew. But once you recognize it, just confess it, ask the Lord for mercy, and move on. That is why you have to follow those carrying the ark. So you don't jump ahead in your flesh. I say, I'm holding up now. It's time to leave church. Ha ha ha. If you is that flesh you carry to go and fish like Peter. If not for the mercy of God. That's why you see the messages in the church today. They have gone ahead of those that are carrying the ark. I thank God for Pastor. Thank for mommy. Me mommy usually saw. At times when I'm reading my Bible, and God opens scriptures to me. And he begins to tell me things that I begin to cry. I say, God, but why? Who am I? Who's my father's house in natural? He hears things they've taught. I read my Bible, see the tabernacle of Moses, like I just said about the 12 loaves of bread. If you look at the tabernacle of Moses, you know, there are four pillars that are right, that are holding the veil. Those are the four bindings you take every day. And Pastor, you know, step one, step two, let's take it to what we have been taught to. We need to take it to. We need to take heed. Be diligent about it. Because the glory is about to manifest. What does it say? It says, and all bearing witness and wonder at what? The gracious words which were proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? His words were gracious. There was no filthy communication. You're not wondering why the Holy Spirit could rest on him. And you're not wondering why you grieve the Holy Spirit every day. And I don't enjoy that presence. We make the mistake, but let's step back. Let us face the truth and acknowledge it that it is true. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You don't have to open there. So you see, there is no room for you and I, after we've left church, to begin to sing, banana, follow me. You see, you are laughing. You see, I definitely sang that song. Because that is what is common today. Or this other funny song. I want to get your attention. I don't want everybody to fall asleep because it's very important. I'm saying, I say, no do, yaga. You know why? You see, when we come to church, we don't sing it. Everybody is holy. When you step outside, you start singing it. You are forgotten that this is not the church. This is not this building. You and I are the church. Amen. So what you cannot do in our gathering, don't do individually, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. Stop grieving him. There's a difference. Not that you will not be blessed. Understand. So we're talking about the manifest presence of God. Like Pastor was sharing that day. He said, you keep my commandment. Me and the Father will come and make our abode. How come we don't experience that abode? Part of it is corrupt communication and wrong thoughts. You grieve him. No do. If it is good, then choir sing it now. If it is going to bring out the presence of God, I'm not joking. I've had to judge myself. I'm trusting God to help me to follow through. Amen. Let them sing it now. Maybe we'll bring out the presence of God. You see, the church is not the building. It's you and I. Amen. When you step out there, you two, you are the church. But see, you, individual, a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are carried to that presence. We are experiencing it. We are rejoicing over. God wants you to have it every day. Amen. I follow him. He wants us to have it every day. So if this is what brought down the presence of God, then let's go there and allow filthy thoughts, filthy communication, stupid songs
to push out of the Bible says James said that he said they can spring forth bitter and sweet. You're not wondering why you're going to spread those spirits. That does not mean that you're not going to be blessed. He'll protect you. He told John, he said, don't worry, I'll send an angel before you. So you can't use the fact that you go out and you are blessed, that you enjoy this presence. That's not God's best. Amen. God's best is for you and I to carry his glory. Amen. And there's a way to carry it. Amen. When he told Peter, he said, Peter, go and talk to the Gentiles. Went to fear God, though. And Peter was like, he didn't want to, apparently he went. But you know what God did? He left him. He didn't remove him from ministry, but brought him Paul. So Peter continued, but Paul went a step ahead. You see, the fact that you are okay, so to speak, you are blessed. You, there's a move coming. When that move begins, if you don't key into it, it's the move that will close its edge. And go to be the glory of God. If you don't key into that, you are going to die, or you'll not be blessed. But we're talking about those that carry his glory. It's only in the whole of Israel. Only four people carry the ark. Why? Let that be. I went out today. I misbehaved. I sang those songs. I misbehaved all over the place. And nothing happened to me. And God, and somebody came and gave him money. You are very foolish. If that is your standard of using to judge whether you are pleasing God, you are missing it. Now, at the same time, like I said, let's follow the ark. When we make that mistake, let's come back. So I'm not hiding anything from you. But just in this way, God is talking to me. I said, you have more diligent about this thing. I'm not going to follow you because you're a pastor. No. Can I forget it? Let me get back to this thing. I mean, that God spoke to me and said, the same way I used to sit at the back there when I just got born again, that I would go and pray, just obey what pastor said. I would download. I'm not saying that, I would download at times what Papa Raph would preach. I'll come, I'll sit down there. The man will say the same thing. I couldn't tell anybody. So God told me, said, don't be too comfortable. There are people in the congregation like you that are not new and are downloading. So take it to yourself. Amen. So, the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. So, the Bible says that we have been, what? In 2 Peter, says that we have been delivered from the corruption. So why do we go back there by things we think and things we say? The above two, your thoughts and your words, they prepare us unto every good work. I said 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. No turn there. John chapter 14, verse 12. Just as he was talking, he said, very rarely I say unto you, the works that I do, he that left of me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater works than these also. So we see, let us say thoughts, words, prepare you for works. Are you following me? In the things we do. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Just say thoughts, words, and then do. What does it say? How God, can you see the reason why? How what? God. Anointed with the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What was you for power? Who went about doing good. So we, at the thought level, we must think good. Always remember, when you think good, you are thinking on love. And what we say, if it is not edifying, shut up. Yes, it's going to take time for us to get to. I'm not there yet, but I can see ahead. And then in the things you do, it must edify. Amen. Prepare on every good work. That's what my mom shared some weeks ago about I love something. Oh my God. That's what stirred up. And since then, I've not been comfortable in terms of it's just been opening each time. Open it and say, God, I begin to check myself. This thing you just did, is this love? This thing you just said in your heart, is this love? Even though it is true, it may not be love. The Bible says that he that repeated the matter, separated based offense, he didn't say it's not true. It's called gossiping. Even though what you said is true, we are brought about a separation instead of bringing about unity. There is a level of love work that we have to work in this end time to download the glory. That is why it is not in the outer court, not the only place where you pray in tongues alone. You must take those 12 loaves and then move inside by the veil, which is the flesh, so no one controls you. And you anchor on love and begin to commune with him on the mercy seat. Praise the Lord. So why is this very, very important? Why is diligence so important? Diligence. Why is it so important? Diligence is a commandment, not a suggestion. Say to your neighbor, diligence is not it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Psalm 119 verse 4. Psalm 119 Verse 4. Please hurry up. Out of time. What does it say? Thou. Let's read together. Thou. Has commanded us to do what? Keep thy precepts diligently. That's what God is trying to tell me. You are not diligent enough. That's why you're not walking with me. That's why I can step out in 3 hours' time. You're so confident. I've done my morning prayer today. I've read my Bible. So you lose all diligence. Don't let's lose diligence. Ezra chapter 7, verse 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Lord Jesus, we give you. Ezra chapter 7, verse 23. Please let's move on. What does it say? Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be what? Diligently done. There's no slothfulness in the kingdom. Many of us, we are so diligent at our work to keep getting promotion in the natural. Transfer, yay, greater diligence to the things of God. They begin to experience promotion. As a promotion does not come from the left or from north or the south. Say, God begins to promote you. How does it promote you? He begins to call you. Come up, Peter. Come up. In the kingdom of God, into my presence. The second point of it will take diligence to cleanse out the sin nature from the soul and body. Say it again. It will take diligence to cleanse out the residual sin nature from the soul and body. Let's move on. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 11, 22. Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 11. It says, no, these are types and shadows. It says, for if you shall, let's look at, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you. You all know the commandments is the command of life and law, right or wrong. We don't need to go back to that. We've been taught so much. I don't want time to go about to that. That commandment is life and love. Love your neighbor as Christ loves them. That Pastor Nuno was sharing this morning. Which I command you, you do them to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. That's marriage in the most holy place. You two become one. You and God become one. Only two people, only one person enters the most holy place. The high priest. We wake up in the morning, everybody starts from the outer court. Then the noise begins to drop. And then we now approach the most holy place. Many people don't travel. But see, you are the only one that will enter into communion with God. You can express the blessings when the sons of Zadok come out, but you are supposed to enter. So when you now enter the most holy place, it's God that is there. There's nothing else. So you better begin to commune with him. Paul says, and the two shall become one. Paul was saying, I show you a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So when you now enter, you and God are now one. It now begins to, it will open the ark to you by God. I begin to feed you with hidden manna. Things that you cannot see. Outer court can't see it. Holy place can't see it. It's you that you enter. I'm saying this will motivate you. Your life is hidden in Christ. In the most holy place. Now begin to understand your purpose in life. Oh yes, it still begin to open. Help me to move on. Deuteronomy verse 23. Go back to 23. Deuteronomy 11, 23. Yeah, what is it? Then, the man said, if you keep the commandments diligent, which is love, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you and shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. What are we saying here? In the Old Testament, they had to kick out 7 nations from Canaan. 7 is God's number for completion. So this residual sin nature in your soul and body, when you begin to keep that commandment diligently, you flush it out. Amen. That was known as perfection. Amen. Using Mary as a type. He said that Mary in whom 7 devils were cast out. God wants every these 7 nations of departed by this. The same nature to be removed. You see, but the problem is this, like I said earlier on, there's a scripture that God showed me. That's why I have to be diligent. Jeremiah 20, verse 10. Because if you are not diligent, that scripture says, say your familiars are watching you. What is the family? Let's say God. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we'll report it. Let's read together. All my familiars. They did what? Watch for my offering. If you check Amplified, it says 4. Saying, by adventure, he will be enticed. And we will prevail against him. And we shall take our revenge on him. 3 things are familiars. Don't look at human beings. Let's say together. The sin nature, Satan, and the acts of sin. So before you come out that day, If it's a woman, that is the day that your husband will say, when you want to pray, go and cook my food. You can't pray. I married you. I'm hungry. That's one family that wants to get you into anger and offense. That's the sin nature, the acts of sin, and Satan. Satan will begin to program you from the air. Through this funny song I'm saying. Because you have what you say. So when you say, I'm saying it there, but Jesus can catch you so you don't fall asleep. But I'll follow you. Then that day, any day offer you, you start following. What is your goodness here? Literally, I want you guys to be awake so you can understand. I'm not trying to be funny. So the sin nature, the acts of sin, and Satan himself, those are your family as well. They're watching for your altar. As you come out that day, they're watching you. I don't want to give an example. It could be hunger. It could be overeating on the fasting day. Whatever. They are just waiting for you to come out. So if I say, Peter, watch and pray away. So their problem was sleeping. That's why they prayed first. They slept. Though. They slept on the Mount of Transfiguration. But in the Mount of two or three witnesses. So they were always, God just gave us that too. They were not always doing their morning prayer. So God was saying, for God to allow them, understand this, to have fallen on the Gethsemane. They must have done it over and over, 7 days and 7 times. They just must have forgiven them. You are enjoying covering. So when the time came, by reason of time, Peter should have learned how to pray. So they denied him. God just gave us those two examples, transfiguration, and to show you what was their regular habits in the mouth of three witnesses. The Bible says, if the things were written, were just cast, but to written, it is this because, so God just said, so. But there is hope for you. Didn't Peter make it? So if you slept today, don't worry. You are going to make it. Say, I'm going to make it. Be encouraged. I am going to make it. God has forgiven me. So don't be under condemnation. Praise the Lord. So the third point I have here, it will take diligence to walk. It will take diligence in walking in love for the Zion church to be set above all nations of the earth. If the Zion church corporate for those that are walking towards perfection, if you are not diligent in walking in love, always picture what the scripture I said. Eat that diligence is a secret good, secret love shall procure favor. It's going to take diligence to walk in love, perfecting love of God in our lives on a day to day basis for Zion to be exalted. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Let's hurry up. Help me, Holy Spirit. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Is that what it says? Is that what he says? He said, that means it will not come to pass if you hearken, I don't hearken diligently. It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the word, the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all this commandment, which is love. The end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith on faith. So let's do what the commandment is. And it takes the life of God to walk in the love of God. I just summarized it. There's no time to talk about it. Which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee what? On high, above all. Oh, say all. All nations. America seems to be most powerful nation now. But say God will set Zion above America. Amen. Set Zion above Russia. But I say they will come in chains. Can you imagine Putin coming to our church? But I want to get born again. I won't misbehave again. Or this King Kong Kong or whatever. Are you following me? When they see the light on the mountain. Abashar Lazar, if he doesn't die before then. 10, verse 10. Mercy on me, Elizabeth. Verse 10, 28, 10. And all the people of the earth, not just some, shall see that what thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid. Right now, we're nuisance. Like Pastor says, just look at you. All these guys that are just looking for money. Don't let's go there. Verse 13. 13, 13. The Lord shall do open unto you. No, that's not 13. And Lord shall make the head and not tail. And that shall be above only and not beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord of God, which I command this day, and observe and to do them. Like the ark was set on the top of Mount Ararat. Carrying Noah and his sons. That's another message for another day. Praise the Lord. So, the fourth point I have here is that we procure favor like Moses as God rewards those that are diligently seeking or walking law. Let's together. We procure favor like Moses as God rewards those that are diligently seeking or walking law. How what is that reward? The spirit without measure. when you begin to walk with God, that scripture Pastor only mentioned that day, says that if you keep my commandment, I will come and manifest myself to you. Then I think it was Philip said, how come you not manifest yourself to the world and manifest yourself to us? And I said, if you keep my, now changes from commandments to word. And the word is what God tells you personally as you're walking in love. You can say you're walking in love. You say, okay, like those guys said, go and help that guy that Ambrobas attacked on with Jericho. But meanwhile, they are confessing love and they pass by. So you have it at a life and love level, which prepares your heart to keep the word. How is it? What I say, the word of God came unto me. Bible will say that. People say, what the Spirit said. So there's an online word that keeps coming to you when you're walking in love. Say, this is the way. Walk in it. Are you following me? So God will now begin to reward them with spirit down measure. That is the reward, though. That is the favor of all favors. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. Hebrews 11:6 says by say that he Hebrews 11:6 just to put the scripture behind, we all know it. Says that but without faith, it is impossible to please God or experience the presence of God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that what is he? What rewarder of those that seek him? And then why am I seeking him diligently? Why am I not seeking diligently? It's clear in scripture. It's one of those that diligently seek him. Pastor has said that the spirit of that measure is a reward, though. It's not a gift. So it's going to take a diligence in walking in love to experience firstly the bold anointing. Then as you continue in that diligence, you're going to experience your own. When you are old, another will guide you. Just a time frame. But first follow those that are carrying the ark. Praise the Lord. So let me explain some scriptures. Like I said, he said God begins to reward your spirit that measure. I said we obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ by diligently walking in love. That's what I've been saying since morning. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, God has called us. Say called us. To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very clear in scripture. Please put it there for God's sake and let's move on. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear. There's no ambiguity. That same unction on the master is what he wants you. That is your calling. You have not been called to be a pastor. That's ministry. Now, open to 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, whereby are given unto us great exceeding promises, that by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped corruption as in the world through lust. That's according to his divine power, my God, have mercy on us. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption as in the world through lust. Next verse. And besides what this, giving what? All. Say all. Not some. Diligence, add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, change, please. Now, knowledge, temperance. I can also clear testimony. As Pastor Kuni was teaching this morning. Sorry, I spoke too fast. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. He's talking about love of God. I follow. Next verse. And to knowledge, and to godliness, bodily kindness. And to bodily kindness, love. So as you begin to by faith add those things in your walk with God, now man, put it on verse 10. Sorry, go back to verse 1. I want to bring out something. We're talking about being called to obtain glory of Lord God. It says that we have been called to glory and virtue. Verse 3. No. Okay, it says, according to the divine power, I think pertaining to life and godliness. He says that whereby God, let's get this is what I want to get to. He says, according as his divine power are given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, becoming like God, which is love, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. So you see where diligence comes in now. I follow him. You have been called to obtain the glory, but you can't obtain that glory if you are not diligently walking in love. Verse 10. Let's move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help me to round up. A long message. 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, that calling of obtaining the glory. Are you following me? And election, sure. For if you do this thing, you shall never fall. So if you do this thing diligently, I don't care the family that are waiting outside. Satan, like Pastor Kunde was preaching, the Romans. If you are diligent, you see, God cannot lie. It looks impossible like a circumstances. You see, but God is saying that, look, if you diligently seek after love, you will not fall. So it doesn't matter the family that are watching for your husband. You just see as a stepping stone. I follow him to greater heights in God. Praise the Lord. So as we do this, we enjoy communion with the Holy Spirit, bringing a manifestation of His presence. That's the whole purpose. At the thought level, we think love. At what we say, we speak love. At the action level, we move in love. Then we now, like I shared on in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 16. This is 16 or 14, the last verse. He says, now understand what happens. But he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest in our spirit forever. There's a level of communion with the Holy Spirit. That you come to a place and you experience His presence like we experienced this afternoon. When you say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace gives you life. Now take that life to walk in the love of God. Now walk in the love of God, now enjoy the communion with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So simple. Proverbs 22, verse 11. Proverbs 22, verse 11. 11, 11. Have mercy, my soul, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say it together. He that loveth pureness of heart, honesty of heart. For the what? Grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. You see where you see? You see where you say now affects your relationship with the Holy Spirit? He that loveth pureness of heart, honesty of heart, gives you mercy. For the grace of his lips, a pastor was preaching this morning, when you are speaking gracious words, words that edify. Said the king, who is the king? Said shall be his friend. We begin to walk with God every day. God will have mercy on us. John chapter, we don't need to turn there. John chapter 14 says that the works I do shall do. No. 14:21, I mentioned it. Where it says, if you keep my commandments, you will make my abode too. Let's look at this example of Moses before us begin to round up. Put it on in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. He, let's just get us, they put it there. He that diligently seeketh good. We seek good. I'm going to say it together so we can understand what is to enter into our consciousness. Say, he that diligently seeketh good. And I seek good daily in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions by seeking love or walking in love. I will now procure favor. So, Exodus 3, verse 12. Amplified, please. Amplified. Moses said to the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You said, I will know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. He that diligently seeketh good, procureth favor. This is when they misbehaved. And God said, I'm not following you again. He said, I've sent an angel before you. That's what happens when you don't experience His presence, and you experience His blessings, His presence. We experience His blessing. The cloud didn't go. They hurt man now. So, but Moses understood that God, it's not about man now. It's not about water coming out of the sea. If your presence does not go with us, God, I'm not leaving this place. Yes, let me put it in a context. If I don't pray with battle prayer in the morning and anchor my soul in the most holy place, I'm not leaving. Now, when you don't do it, we are under covering. That's why you must follow the ark. I follow him. But that is the ideal. I follow him. So next verse. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Moses, now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, and that I may find favor in your sight. Favor. That's how you procure favor. As we really seek love. The favor we are talking about is this, the presence of God, not the presence of getting a contract in Abuja. That's why I read the Amplified. I'm acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, and that I may find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people. Next verse, let's hurry up. Next verse. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest, like I was preaching this morning. It's when you anchor your soul in love every morning that you find rest too. Amen. There therefore remained the rest for the people of God. Labor. Labor, the Bible says. You don't enter rest ordinarily. You don't walk into. You labor. Traveling. That, I don't want time. I don't want to. I'm just, you know what labor means. You've been taught very well. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Me to redeem time. And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us off from here. I don't want to leave, Lord. That should be our outcry. Next verse. For by what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? That means it's favor that brings the presence. That is why Zion was brilliantly working love. That the people of the nation will come. Those people, when they enter a place, there's a difference. Yeah. He says, is it not in your going with us that we shall be distinguished? That's why there's no distinction. There's no difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. Distinction. I am your people from all the other people upon the face of earth. Next verse. We're going tonight. Next verse. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing. Say, God will do this thing for me. Also that you have asked. For you have what? Found favor. But yet is seeking love. Loving kindness and mercy in my sight. And I know you personally and by name. Remember? Personal thing. You enter the Holy Spirit yourself. Next verse. And Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Next verse. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious, favor, to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy and loving kindness to whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. How do we do this? I'm going to summarize because of time. Through mercy and grace. Say, through mercy and grace. And mercy is given to the honest and the humble. When you're honest, the person will say, you obtain mercy. He that covers the sins shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes shall obtain mercy. You must be honest with your work every day at the thought level. A thought hits your mind about morality. Don't leave it. Say, Father, I confess my sins. I clean with the blood. Don't leave it. Take it captive. The thought of everything comes to your mind. Take it captive. That's honesty of heart. Which now makes way for grace. How do you pass what I thought? You say, Lord, please have mercy on me in this regard. Nobody needs to know what you thought. I follow me. So, which you find that is in pillar number one, that pastor has taught us, 7 pillars of wisdom. So, grace, mercy is given to the honest in heart, grace is given to the humble in heart, mercy from without, grace from within. And what does that do? It enables you to get sufficient life to labor through prayer to daily work in love. That's it. When you're honest, it gives you mercy. When you are honest enough, let's be enough there, it gives you sufficient mercy. And mercy gives life. Looking on, go to Jude chapter 21. And then when you now submit what honesty has given to you in your hand, you now receive grace. He says that he giveth more grace, so you can have more grace. So you can increase in grace. I follow him. So Jude 21, what does he say? Let's be clear about mercy, because this is the how. It says, keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. Mercy is supposed to give you life. But now, that life now helps you to do the right thing. Grace. But I'm talking about the grace of life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Talking about husband and wife. Say, both of you are the inheritors of the grace of life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible talks about in the savor is life. I follow him. So that's how you get. You need mercy and grace. I follow him to partake of it. So that is that mercy. The level of that mercy and grace is what now helps you to pray with all types of prayer. As you're going to wake up, if mercy is not enough, grace is not enough, you are fighting with your wife like I just read, you're going to keep sleeping from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. that day. Because he said that lest your prayers be hindered. Mine has been hindered many times. I'm being serious. That's why that is in the context that Peter also said, likewise, husband, dwell with your them, not only your wife, but everybody, like Pastor was preaching. So just an example. Give unto the wife as a recap as well, and has been here together with the grace of life. Now your prayers don't hinder. So that means it takes grace. Without grace, your prayers will be hindered. So you can't enter the holy place that day, most holy place. So we now use this life by daily operating the 7 pillars of wisdom to walk in love, which God now rewards with the Spirit without measure. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. As we pray, put it on the board. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. What does it say? 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have what? Showed towards his name, and in that you have also ministered to the saints and do minister. I don't have time to go there. You see, God rewards your love work with his presence. It takes labor to walk in love. Since you have ministered to the saints, you offend me, I ask for life for you. I minister life to you. If you see your brother sin and sin of the earth, you ask for life. That's how you minister to the saints. That's the primary way. Thank God for pastor. He has made it so simple on how to walk in love. Washing our feet. Simple. We need to know what God wants to do. Why brought this message? For to be more diligent. Give all diligence. If you're not doing it at the thought level, at the word level, in the action level, you will find that the present, the what we experience today, it will be what you will be carrying. Individually. So you can imagine if each of us is carrying this, we now come together. Multiply it. Now say blind eyes will not be what pop open. You now say the tear will not break. If what we all express to you as a corporate body, you experience, so one each one of us, now bring it together. Now pastor will say concatenate. you now multiply it. When we are doing prayer, you say concatenate exponentially. My God, that is why by the time the glory fills the temple, nobody can enter. Fills the temple, Revelation. He said that the throne was filled with glory that no man can enter. So don't be late to church. Let's just stop there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I'm grateful. Thank you for the Father in the house. We are grateful. Let's stand to our feet. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Let's talk to God in our hearts. As we are talking to God, I stand up to pray. There's something I should read. It's on the website. Pastor put it there by Jim Wilkinson. This is what God is about to do. I'll just read it. It says that you are standing on the brink of the greatest aha in the history of the world. You are going to tap into divine hearings of the almighty counsel of God himself. He's going to open the spirits of men until they will be able to sit in those council rooms as most holy place. The secrets of his glory and his presence that men have not yet been able to comprehend or see in his fullness. They will know exactly how and when to move, and they will go into areas untouched before. Let's sing this song as we pray. That same song you sang, my sister, please sing it. So let's sing it in faith.
You are here with me. You stay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We exalt you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So close, I believe.
Share something with you. I spoke to me right now. I don't know the exact verses in the Bible, Genesis. When Jacob was going to Laban's house, God appeared to him. Put it on the board in Genesis. And he said, I will not leave you until I have fulfilled all people here on the board. just kept him right now. Genesis 28:15. When he slept on those stones, revelation has been given. We begin to rest on them. We begin to use those stones. So when he slept, he said that all of a sudden he had a dream and the heavens were opened. And he saw a ladder going up and coming down. Pastor going up, coming down. Mommy going up, coming down. Papa going up, coming down. And they're going to start at the top of that ladder. Because saying that Lord Jesus Christ told Nathanael. You know Nathanael said? He said, an Israelite in whom there is no honest. Honesty and humility of heart. That's not taking. But Jacob, my trickster, he said, I had those problems on the way. See what God told him. He said, and behold, that God is talking to me. So I'm a Jacob at this time. You are a Jacob, God of sin, nature, your soul, and your body. And behold, I'm with you. And I will keep thee in our places without our goest. And I will bring thee again into this land of perfection. For I will not what? Leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee of. So close. He's so close. So close. So close. So close. It is God that wills in you what you do at the will of his good pleasure. Don't worry. Don't give up. God is going to help you in just about 4-7 times. He shall rise again until you carry that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes the weak things of the world to confound the wise.
So close.
Anything new today is every pastor has thought. And I'm going to pray. We're going to pray from this book and see exactly what I've just mentioned. Father, we confess our sins. And so we claim with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Dear Holy Spirit, please help me to perfect the love of God in my life today and the days following, by the blood, the word, and the spirit, as I diligently seek this good, help me to procure favor. Let grace and mercy be multiplied unto me in sufficient measure, so that my prayers, my battle prayer, my communion prayer, would have evidence, so that when the enemy comes in against my soul, body, and circumstances, those familiars, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard of love against him. Put him into flight. Causing your love, wisdom, compassion, power, in and through me to overcome all iniquity. Like he did in Lord Jesus. In this regard, Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, I acknowledge you for your grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Dear Holy Spirit, please come and help me and give me mercy unto eternal life. To walk in love and to please you, not like you today. Thank you for the physical reality of your presence as evidence by the spiritual tongues I speak. So help me to be conscious of your presence throughout today. Let's pray in tongues. Pray like you mean it. Pray with all your heart. The love of God suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. The love of God suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. The king of the love of God suffered violence, and the violence taken by force. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.